Friends in Idaho is a podcast following the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. This podcast is hosted and produced by me, Kayla Waters, in correlation with my other podcast, True Crime Exposed. I have followed this case closely as it all came to an end here in Idaho, just 30 minutes north of where I grew up and currently live. I will be attending most days of Lori Daybell's trial at the Madison County Courthouse in Rexburg, Idaho. This is the area which the crimes took place, and this is the only location outside of Ada County that has access to the live stream of this trial. Each day, I will recap the trial for you here. Welcome to It Ends in Idaho, the Lori Daybell Trial. On Monday, April 24th, 2023, day 14 of Lori Daybell's trial continues. This is day 9 of witness testimony, and the prosecution is still presenting their case. Sergeant David Stubbs is back on the stand for continued testimony after the prosecution played body cam footage of his from two interactions with Lori and the execution of the search warrant. He testifies that apartment 107 where Melanie Boudreaux lived was searched, apartment 175 where Lori Vallow lived was searched, and apartment 174 where Alex Cox lived was searched. The ties to these apartments are confusing because Melanie's apartment was leased under Lori's name and Lori's apartment was leased under Alex's name. In Melanie's apartment, several credit cards of her ex-husband, Brandon Boudreaux, are found. Sergeant Stubbs goes on to testify about data collected from companies like Google and Amazon. Certified business records are presented. He also says that when the landlords went into the abandoned apartments, they found two phones left behind that they turned over to the police. Two emails are found via search warrant connected to Alex Cox. These emails are raylamar@gmail.com and homerjmaximus@gmail.com. They were able to obtain a search warrant for the known numbers of people associated with this case, and this would allow them to track the phones in real time. The phone numbers belong to Alex Cox, Chad Daybell, Lori Vallow, and Tylee Ryan. This is how they found that Chad and Lori had fled to Kauai. Lori, Tylee, and Chad's cell phones pinged there. Police were able to seize 10 devices from Lori and Chad's room and car in Kauai. A lot of information and evidence is presented in association with Chad and Lori's devices, emails, accounts, PO boxes, etc. Sergeant Stubbs now testifies about the geofencing evidence we heard about in earlier testimony from other detectives. This is where Alex Cox's device is tied to the scene, where Tylee and JJ's bodies were found, on Chad Daybell's property. He explains that this warrant was issued after the discovery of the bodies to make sure they were not leaving anyone else out. Only Alex's device tied to this location for each and every date and time they were looking at. Now, going back to the video of the search warrant body cam footage that we played in our last episode, Sergeant Stubbs testifies it stood out to him that the home was basically intact, left as if someone was coming back. He's talking about the townhomes that Lori and Alex and Melanie Boudreaux left behind in Rexburg, Idaho. He says all the clothes were gone. To him, it seemed like they all left in a haste. As some of the evidence is being presented, an impromptu break is called by Judge Boyce, because a juror needs a break, and the judge needs to sort out some of the evidence with counsel in private anyway. So, coming back from break, Sergeant Stubbs testifies about how Google connects different devices. He says if you log into one of your common accounts on a different device, Google then connects that device to you. So through investigators' search warrants to Google, they were presented with multiple different numbers tied to Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, and Alex Cox, as well as Melanie Boudreaux. This is how police make the discovery of what they would call burner phones tied to these individuals. The sergeant also testifies about looking through different emails connected to Lori and Chad, as well as their search history to find clues. At this time, State Exhibit 157 is asked to be admitted as evidence. This is a thumb drive that Sergeant Stubbs prepared. Jim Archibald wants to ask questions about the thumb drive before this evidence is admitted. He is really focused on whether or not the sergeant labeled the thumb drive himself, and how would he know that this specific thumb drive is the one that Sergeant Stubbs prepared. The sergeant says that he was not the one who labeled it, but he did review it, and the thumb drive was downstairs earlier. It appears to be the same one, which was labeled 157. After Jim's line of questioning, he objects based on the fact that he doesn't think Sergeant Stubbs knows what is on this specific thumb drive. Rachel Smith wants to ask a few questions as well, so she asks the sergeant if he previously prepared this thumb drive for another hearing, and he testifies yes. So Judge Boyce overrules the objection. Sergeant Stubbs testifies that on September 8, 2019, Chad Daybell searched the wind direction for the following day, September 9th. This is the same day that Chad texts Tammy saying that he burned limbs and killed a raccoon in the backyard. He goes on to testify about other searches he did of Lori and Chad's search history, including the dates that she ordered wedding rings on August 25th, 2019. It caught the sergeant's attention because Charles had just died 1 month earlier, and Tammy Daybell was still alive and well, married to Chad Daybell. Other searches done on Lori's account in September were possessed and how to remove the back seat of my Jeep Wrangler. Brandon Boudreaux was shot at from this Jeep a few days later. Lori also searched for wedding dresses on the same day of Tammy Daybell's funeral. Sergeant Stubbs goes on to say that Lori traveled to Illinois on October 9th, 2019, the same day that Tammy is shot at. Rachel Smith asks if it could have been Missouri, and he apologizes, saying yes, it was Missouri. Jim Archibald objects, saying that she is leading the witness, and this is very inappropriate. Rachel says it was a speaking error, and the judge agrees, overruling the objection, but asking her to continue without leading questions. Sergeant Stubbs talks about different LDS church historical sites that Lori had visited while in Missouri. Now pictures of Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow's wedding on November 5th, 2019 are admitted as evidence under State Exhibit 61. John Thomas conducts the cross-examination of Sergeant Stubbs. The defense asks what percentage of his work is dedicated to cases like this. The sergeant testifies that it's about 50% of his work, if not slightly more, and John Thomas says, "Oh, okay." Now John asks about the geofence locations obtained done at Lori Vallow's home and Chad Daybell's home. He confirms that investigators were not able to tie anyone to those locations on all the dates searched, except for Alex Cox. The sergeant testifies that this is correct. John cites how Chad Daybell searched the wind direction, and he wants to know why this search on the specific day was so unusual. Sergeant Stubbs says there was no other time he saw this user search this thing specifically. And Mr. Thomas says that information about why Chad is searching for this wind direction is just speculative, right? And Sergeant Stubbs says, yes, it is speculation. John asks the sergeant if he knows Lori Vallow's ring size, and he says no. Then John asks if he knows the ring size for Alex Cox or Zulema Pastinas, but Sergeant Stubbs says no. John Thomas states that he has no further questions. Rachel Smith wants to conduct a brief redirect. She asks some questions about Sergeant Stubbs' training and duties and work, and then she asks him in relation to the searches Chad made about the wind direction, if Sergeant Stubbs knows if Chad has any neighbors to the north of his property. The sergeant testifies that the closest would be maybe a quarter mile away. Miss Smith asks if those to the north would be the recipient if the wind was blowing from the south-southwest, and Sergeant Stubbs testifies yes. I'll mention here that I have actually driven past Chad Daybell's property. I wanted to put the scene in perspective, and I'll do my best to explain it here. The front of Chad Daybell's home faces west, which is the main highway that runs in front of it. At the back of Chad's home, there looks to be maybe an add-on to the house. The roof here sits higher, and the coloring of this portion of the home is different. There is a driveway into the garage at the front of the home that you would turn right into from the highway on that west side. There is also a road on the south side of Chad's home so that you could turn right onto it from the highway before you reach the front driveway. This road parallels the left side of Chad Daybell's home. On this road, there are two neighbors directly across the street from this left side of the house. There is another driveway at the back of the home that you can turn left into from this road. The back of the home faces east, and behind that driveway, the one that comes in from the road on the left side of the house, behind that driveway further east, there is a yard. And then there's more land with a red barn type building sitting in it. The fire pit is back here. The pet cemetery is back here, all to the east. So Tylee and JJ's remains were found on the property behind this barn. On the neighbor's fence just across the street from the left side of the Daybell home and property, pictures and memories of Tylee and JJ hang. These pictures have been there for years and remain there still to this day. On the right side of Chad Daybell's property, which would be the north side, there are no neighbors for quite a stretch. There is a large piece of barren land with a lot of trees. So with this search, I think Chad needed to make sure that the wind was blowing from the south, so that any smell of the burnt remains would be carried across the bare land instead of across the street to his neighbors just south of him. And maybe I'm wrong. That's just my theory after visualizing the property myself. To me, Chad would have needed the wind to come in from the south-southwest, because then it would carry any odor to the northeast, into the barren land. Anyway, John Thomas is still questioning Sergeant Stubbs for the defense, and he asks if the sergeant ever saw any indication on any accounts that Lori asked anyone to kill her kids. The sergeant testifies no, and the defense has no further questions. Sergeant Stubbs is not officially excused as a witness as he may be called back later on. But for now, he is excused and led off the witness stand. Next, Lindsay Blake calls Nicole Heidemann. She's been employed by the FBI for the last 15 years. Nicole helped investigate the missing children, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow, as well as the death of Tammy Daybell and Charles Vallow. She reviewed Gmail accounts for Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Lindsay asks for the admission of State's Exhibit 184A, which is a PowerPoint that Nicole created to detail her investigation. John Thomas asks a few questions, noting that the PowerPoint only has 8 searches for Chad's account and 9 searches for Lori's account. Nicole says yes, this is just a summary of relevant information, and John confirms that there were other searches done within these accounts. Judge Boyce admits the evidence and allows it to be published to the jury and the courtroom. Nicole testifies that FBI investigators chose October 21st, 2018 as the start date of when they would be looking into this case, going back and backtracking it. This date was just before Chad and Lori met. On January 28th, 2019, searches were found along the lines of Ned Schneider, Louisiana, Ned Schneider, born 1951, died 1956, and bodies possessed after original occupant died. Nicole also testifies that in the Chandler, Arizona investigation, they found that Charles Vallow indicated he was being referred to as Ned Schneider. On January 31st, 2019, a search for Ned Schneider obituary 1997 is done. On March 6, 2019, there's a search for June 29th star sign, and then there's a search for Are Cancer and Leo compatible? Another search is done for May 4 sign Taurus and Leo compatible. I hate to say this and even share with you guys, but I share a birthday with Chad Daybell. I hate it. So I know that he is the Leo sign Lori is likely referring to in these searches. Nicole testifies that May 4th is Tammy Daybell's birthday, making her the Taurus. Chad was born on August 11th, making him a Leo. So why is Lori Vallow looking up if they're compatible? Hun, they had 5 kids together. They raised them for all these years. If Chad wasn't a monster and Lori wasn't a monster and they both didn't come together for the perfect combination of evil, then Chad and Tammy might have been perfectly good together. However, I will always believe that Tammy deserved so much more than Chad. So jumping off my soapbox and back into the trial, Nicole continues her testimony, saying that on June 1st, 2019, Iplos is searched. On July 9th, 2019, a search is done for when you surprise someone with accusations. Nicole says, this is 2 days before Charles Vallow was murdered. On October 8th, 2019, there is a search for Rhode Island area code. Nicole testifies that there are multiple phones involved in this investigation, and one contains a Rhode Island area code. On July 1st, 2019, searches for Gerber Life Policy, Life Insurance for Children, and Grow Up Plan are searched by Lori Vallow. A search on September 24th, 2019 was done for the Kennedy Elementary School phone number. This was 2 days after investigators believed JJ was killed. That same day, a search for Define Possess was done. Nicole testifies that this concept of possession had come up multiple times through the investigation. My question is, if Lori truly believed that all these people were being possessed and that she was not just killing them for the money, then why, after her husband and 2 children have already been killed, is she looking up how to define possession? You would think she was an expert on the subject by now. Lindsay Blake is having some computer difficulties at this time, so there is a small pause in the questioning. She goes on to ask about 6 phone numbers that were found for each individual being investigated. The investigators then narrow it down to the phone numbers most relevant for the investigation. There were 3 for Lori Vallow, 3 for Chad Daybell, and 3 for Alex Cox. These phone numbers were linked to different iCloud accounts searched in this case. They're linked to airline tickets, rental applications, and more. Nicole testifies about different days these numbers are activated and which ones Lori and Chad contacted each other on, and the different contact names that they had saved for each other. Lori had saved Chad's contact as things like Rebecca Shumway and Bishop Miller. The numbers helped reference Chad and Lori's aliases used throughout the investigation. Nicole testifies that their aliases are Raphael and Lily for Chad and Lori, as well as James and Elena. Nicole mentions the significance of different accounts like Lollytime at iCloud.com, KKWalker at gmail.com, LoriForStyle at iCloud.com, and many other emails, accounts, and phone numbers associated with this case. She notes different names that Zulema, Melny Boudreau, and Ian Pulowski had saved Lori and Chad's names under. She goes on to describe Alex Cox's account and phone numbers tied to him, such as HomerJMaximus at gmail.com, HomerJMaximus at yahoo.com, and RayMaximus at gmail.com. There's also a RayLamar at gmail.com. He logged into all these emails on different phones, so then all those phone numbers tied together. In the middle of Nicole Heidemann's testimony, a lunch break is called. When the court is back in session, she continues her testimony about things she investigated, such as wedding planning and more phone documents. A PowerPoint presentation is presented as evidence alongside Nicole's testimony. She says that on August 25th, 2019, Lori tried to order those rings, but her card declined. On October 2nd, Lori tried this purchase again through the Amazon account associated with Charles Vallo. A separate ring was purchased online through a jewelry store. 2 days later, a size 11 and a half ring was returned and exchanged for a size 11. 2 days after Charles was killed, Chad sends a text to Lori saying, quote, "Concerning the 2 weeks, BYU Idaho's graduation is July 23rd. Adam is getting his bachelor's and Leah and Joe are getting their associates. They are all walking in the same commencement ceremony. I feel she will be gone by then, but I will still have that hoopla to deal with because a lot of mine and Adam's family are coming and they will stay for July 24th. So I believe that's why the Lord hinted I might not get to be with you until that's all over. Please ask about that." Lindsay Blake asks who those individuals are, and Nicole testifies that Leah is Chad and Tammy's daughter. Adam and Joe are their son-in-laws. She goes on to testify about more messages she found on July 22nd, 2019, about a plan Lori and Chad made to ultimately be in Hawaii together. Chad sends Lori a text, quote, "Love you, going with Garth in an hour or so to see the other side of heaven too. Missing you desperately, so excited to be with you." Lori replies, "You will love it." And Chad says, "Not as much as I love you." Lori sends, "I love you. You will enjoy the scenery. It looks like Kauai a lot. Hopefully we will be there someday soon together." And Chad responds, "That is the plan and my greatest desire." Nicole goes on to testify about a quote Lori requested for a wedding on October 30th, 2019. She specified that Tuesday, November 5th, 2019 would be the wedding date. The state now moves to admit another PowerPoint. John Thomas objects for the defense based on there being missing pages from the entirety of the exhibit. Counsel has a private sidebar where they discuss the issue. Following this, the judge overrules the objection and additional documents are obtained by the prosecution. That's actually why he overruled the objection. And the judge notes to the jury that this is a demonstrative exhibit, not evidence. This PowerPoint details different dates that Chad Daybell and Lori Vallo visited the LDS temples together. The defense objects to this exhibit because there are references to the dates investigators believe Tammy, Tylee, and JJ were killed. John Thomas says that these dates are assumed and not proven. However, Judge Boyce overrules this and allows it to be published. Nicole testifies about the dates. On November 16, 2018, Lori and Chad attended the Gilbert, Arizona temple together. On April 3, 2019, they attended the Idaho Falls, Idaho temple together. On April 27, 2019, Lori and Chad attend the Houston, Texas temple together. On September 7th, 2019, they attend the Idaho Falls, Idaho temple together. On September 17th, 2019, and on September 28th, 2019, and October 29th, 2019, Lori and Chad attend the Rexburg, Idaho temple together. Nicole testifies that on September 17th, the time difference is more significant than that of other dates. She says that the temple has you scan a card, and it keeps a record of the time you log in. On this date, there was a 25-minute difference from the time Chad and Lori scanned their cards. The other times that the cards were scanned, they were within seconds of each other, maybe up to 2 minutes apart. After a few more questions, Lindsay Blake concludes her questioning for the prosecution, and John Thomas stands to conduct the cross-examination. John Thomas wonders why Nicole thought Tuesday was a significant day for Chad and Lori. She mentioned this during direct examination due to Chad and Lori being married on a Tuesday. So John asks if the kids died on a Tuesday. Nicole says that she does not know. He then asks if it would be surprising to her that Tylee and JJ are suspected to have died on Mondays, and that Tammy died on the weekend. So to John, Tuesday being significant didn't make much sense. saying that more events would have occurred on Tuesdays. John goes on to say that Lori's request to have a wedding on a Tuesday lost its significance, didn't it? But Nicole says that there is significance between Lori and Chad's names and Tuesday and malachite rings, all of it as a whole. It's all significant together, maybe not individually. John Thomas notes that the 7 times Chad and Lori went to the temples together, those were a fraction of the times they had ever attended the temple. Nicole says that is correct. John asks what the tie-in is with the temple visits then. And Nicole says that potentially investigators thought some of the dates that the couple attended were oddly close to the dates that they believed homicides occurred. Mr. Thomas says, quote, "Why would you make a chart to show this evidence if you don't believe in it?" Lindsay Blake objects based on misstating, and Judge Boyce sustains this. Nicole says that she can't say what the purpose for Chad and Lori's visits were. And John says, "So that's a no?" Lindsay objects, and John says, "That's a question." Before Lindsay replies, "It's argumentative." Judge Boyce agrees with Lindsay and sustains the objection. John goes on to note the document referring to the searches for Craigslist, a self-service dog, and Phoenix Pet Services. He asks if Nicole asked any other questions or researched about what those searches were about. Nicole says that she did not. However, her job is more to provide leads to the investigators, and she knows those leads were then ran out by other people. John Thomas concludes his cross-examination with this, and Lindsay Blake stands for some follow-up. She asks if Nicole was tasked with simply looking at what was searched, and she testifies yes. When that search began, the investigation was a missing persons investigation, so the wind search didn't appear significant to Nicole until the children's bodies were discovered buried on Chad Daybell's property. Nicole Heidemann is now released as a witness for the moment, but she remains under subpoena in case she needs to be called back again. Next, Rob Wood calls Nick Balance for the state. He works as a special agent for the FBI. He is a part of the CAST team that takes cellular records and geolocation records and puts them on a map to track where they've been historically and where they are currently. Nick explains in detail how these searches work and how the cell phone companies provide this information. He details this a lot smarter than I could ever explain it to you. I suggest listening to his testimony if you want a really in-depth understanding of how the cell site analysis and geolocation searches work. I'm going to summarize the gist of his testimony here. Map exhibits are admitted to be presented for Nick's testimony. He lays out everything that's on this map for the jury, and he says there are boxes that represent every time an interaction occurred. They're date and time stamped, and he can pull records associated with that number from the cell provider. The duration on a phone call is recorded as well, and it's also indicated if the call is inbound or outbound from a specific number. Nick goes on to testify that he is tracking a phone through these searches, a device, not a person. He testifies that the account, Homer J. Maximus, which is tied to Alex Cox, was seen multiple times at Lori Vallow's apartment from August 1st through October 31st, 2019. On October 9th, 2019, Alex Cox and Chad Daybell's devices are seen communicating multiple times. Lori and Chad also make contact between 8:15 a.m. and 9 a.m. Nick testifies about some calls and text message communications that can be shown between two specific numbers belonging to Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow. He shows how the map shows which cell tower each phone is using, and where the map generally places their devices. Nick says they're looking at tower interactions between these numbers. The map shows which device made the call and which device received it. The 0143 number is attributed to Chad Daybell. The 4652 number communicating with Chad is attributed to Lori Vallow. The 9120 number is attributed to Alex Cox. By looking at Google location history, Nick found 4 location records for Homer J. Maximus attributed to Alex Cox that indicated where Google believed a certain device was during the specific time of September 9th, 2019. The first one is at 9:21 a.m. The next is at 9:22 and 50 seconds. The third is at 10:39 a.m. in Chad Daybell's backyard. And the fourth is at 10:57 a.m. and 3 seconds, which is located just south of the location Nick was provided for the burn pit. Chad Daybell's residence is located on the map in green. Where Tylee Ryan's remains are located is represented in red. At this time, Judge Boyce suggests breaking for the day and returning to Nick's testimony the following morning. So on Tuesday, April 25th, 2023, court is back in session. Around 8:30 a.m., Nick Balance is back on the stand to continue his testimony about cell site analysis. He testifies that there are numerous outgoing SMS messages from Chad Daybell's device to Lori Vallow, and one incoming SMS message from Lori Vallow's device to Chad Daybell. These messages he's referring to were sent on September 9th, 2019, between the hours of 3:59 a.m. and 8:54 a.m. The device of Alex Cox shows at his residence between about 9 a.m. and 9:50 a.m. Multiple calls between Lori and Chad's device occur on September 23rd, 2019, between 9:30 a.m. and 9:35 a.m. Alex's device moves from his residence that morning of September 23rd, and it heads north. Nick testifies to other communications and locations shown by these three devices. 10:42 a.m. is the last indication of Alex's phone being at Chad Daybell's property on September 23rd. 8 minutes later, the phone is south in the Rexburg area. At 10:13 a.m., Lori Vallow's phone and Alex Cox's phone make communication. On multiple occasions, the phone associated with Alex Cox is located at Chad Daybell's property. Nick testifies about multiple other phone numbers attributed to Chad, Alex, and Lori, including a number activated as late as October 9th, 2019. That is the date of Tammy's attempted shooting, and it's shown that Chad and Alex had devices that communicated multiple times this day. On October 18th, between 9:35 p.m. and 10:55 p.m., 16 text messages are exchanged between Chad Daybell's device and Alex Cox's device. On October 18th, between 10:05 p.m. and 10:07 p.m., a device attributed to Alex Cox is going northbound on Salem Road and arriving at the Salem Church. The next morning, a 911 call is made to report Tammy's sudden death. The church is directly south on the same road of Chad Daybell's property. That same date, at 11:53 p.m., Alex Cox makes a call to Lori Vallow's device. At 11:54, Alex's device is traveling southbound. At 12:09 a.m. on October 19th, Alex's phone is located just north of Idaho Falls. On October 22, 2019, Chad Daybell's device shows in Springville, Utah. Nick testifies that this is around the date of Tammy Daybell's burial in Springville. During this time, Chad's device is communicating with Lori Vallow's device. Rob Wood concludes his direct examination, and Jim Archibald conducts his cross. He asks Nick extensively about his education and experience. Nick testifies that he's been a special agent since 2016. Jim moves from there to ask for an even more in-depth explanation about the CAST team and what they do. During the cross-examination, a mid-morning break is called. When court is back in session, Jim continues questioning Nick Balance. Jim asks about the equipment used for what he does. And again, I can't even begin to try and explain it or reiterate it the same way that Nick does. It sounds very complicated, and I don't fully grasp how all of it works. But Nick explains it in a very detailed manner. After asking Nick if he believes Lori's device was in Hawaii at the time of Tammy's death, Jim concludes his cross-examination. Rob Wood asks a few follow-up questions. Nick testifies that location services, especially with Google, is based off of whether users want to opt in or opt out. So as a part of their privacy protection, you can opt out of having your location being maintained. I think this might explain why there was a lot of testimony about Alex Cox's device being located, but not Lori and Chad's. Rob Wood has no further questions, but he does not want Special Agent Nick Balance released from his subpoena yet, as he could be called back. For now, he is excused as a witness. Now Spencer Rammel asks for a sidebar before calling the next witness. Once that sidebar concludes, Spencer calls Summer Shiflett. This is Lori Vallow's sister, and we'll cover her testimony in the next episode. This podcast was produced by True Crime Exposed and is hosted by me, Kayla Waters. Please leave us a 5-star written review, as we are a new podcast, and help spread the word.